If you have your Bibles, let's look at Psalm 94. I like reading the Psalms because David is pretty honest, unlike a lot of us. We're faith people. We don't share many weaknesses and many problems. And David just lets it all hang out. I think a very emotional person. And that was good in some sense and negative in other ways. But so I was reading the Psalms, and I just want to share this with you. Psalm 94, verse 3. Lord, how long will the wicked, triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Well, that's very encouraging. And, you know, nine out of ten times I read that and I don't witness with that. You know, I know what the Word says. I know where God is, and I know how David was feeling here. But there's that tenth time that I read it and I go, yeah, God, what's going on here? Why do the wicked triumph? And, you know, that word wicked means ungodly, those that are hostile to God. And it does, and it's just a feeling and hopefully just temporary. But you like wonder, why do the wicked prosper and it seems like the godly don't? You ever thought that? And so there's this old adage, if you can't beat them, then join them. No, that's not going to happen here, right? We're not going to join them. Because we have to do the right thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to do the right thing. And I could add, whether you feel like it or not. And you always got to keep Matthew 6 before you. Matthew 6, verse 31. Always, continually. This is walking with Jesus for 30-something years and always, you know, had this before you. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. And I really like this in the Amplified. That's why I used it, this version for this reading it right now, is his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. God's got a way of doing things. He's got a way of being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. And so my job as a believer is not to conform to the world, although that's tempting, you feel like it. Do what everybody else is doing. My job is to please him. My job is to follow him. My job is to obey him. And I think we could all agree with this, especially if you've been walking with God for a long time. Doing my own thing has never worked. It's never worked. It's always ended in failure. And so you just kind of, you know, learn by, you know, you touch the stove and it's hot and it burns you. Well, don't do that again. I mean, I've just learned, you know, doing my own thing, doing it my own way, ignoring God, ignoring the scriptures, that doesn't work. But it's easy, I think, especially with the media and the marketing that we have, so slick, so sophisticated, the internet and social media, all these different things, it's easy to get caught in the comparison trap, comparing yourself. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is continually compare yourself to others. And there's always, I hate to say it, there's always going to be someone better looking, smarter, thinner, has more money, has more, you know, more likes on Facebook, whatever, more popular. And so the enemy wants to get you there to get your eyes off him. And yeah, it's not going to happen for you. And they're just special. So you got to watch the comparison trap, the competition trap, because the marketer wants you to feel lack and to feel like what you have is not enough. The marketer wants to steal and take your, it's a lot of the enemy working here, to take your contentment. Paul said in Philippians, I'm content whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased. I'm content. I'm trusting in him. I'm looking to him. And you know, if you think about lack, that's what Satan did with Adam back in the garden, made him feel like he didn't have enough. And so the very thing God told me not to do, I'm going to do because I feel lack. What God has said to me is not enough. So it's the same old trick, but it's very sophisticated today and very sneaky and crafty. So we have to find out what his word says and then do it. Learn to follow his voice. And we've been talking a lot about that the last month or so, about being obedient, following him, listening to him. The Discovery Bible studies that we've been doing on Wednesday nights for our empowerment training is about hearing God's voice, about looking at his word with fresh eyes, and then doing it. You know, how will we obey this passage of Scripture this week? And if we'll do that, I mean, our lives will be better. There'll be more satisfaction. There'll be more peace. There'll be less comparison. There'll be less competition. Because really, I want you to do better than me. I want you to thrive and to flourish. And if you're being blessed in a way that I'm not right now, the healthy response is to rejoice with you. Well, first of all, he's in the neighborhood. So if it's happening in our neighborhood, he's coming to my house. So we should be rejoicing with each other, not like, oh man, getting upset. Enemy's sneaky, though. He don't want you to get upset when others are blessed. But God's got a plan, and we need to find out what it is and walk in it. And what we've been talking about during, you know, we've been talking about obedience, we're not looking to be comfortable. And that's another trap, is that we think that we're going to be in Christ, we're going to live in a world of just comfort and ease and never have struggles. That's not faith. That's not Bible. Jesus said, and I'm not, you know, calling it, you know, into your household, but he said, in this world you have tribulation. And even if you're not necessarily experiencing a trial right now, your neighbor is. And so it affects you. And so we're not looking for a comfortable life. We're not like looking for a life of luxury and ease. In fact, you know, whatever he's called you to do, there's going to be a fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be things that happen. And there may be even times you get knocked down, but we don't stay down, we get back up. And you've got to remember, because I'm telling you, we're living in just crazy days. Now, I'm a student of history, and really, to be honest, it's not really any crazier than any other time, but it just seems, because we just hear so much, it's always been just crazy, out of control, but it's even more so because we just know so much. I mean, I can look at the internet right now and find out 60, 70, 80, 90 things that are happening in the world right now. It used to be newspaper. You may not hear about something for a week or longer or never hear about it. There's just a whole lot of things we don't even need to hear about. But we got to, but you know, we listen to all these voices. But you know, the most important voice to listen to is God's voice. We need less of other voices and we need more of God's voice. Hebrews 11 is another good verse. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please. Faith is believing in something you don't see. It's believing and trusting in His word. Believing His promises. Expecting something to happen before it does. It's trusting Him, having confidence. It's relying on Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. You got to believe that. And that He is a rewarder. That word reward means paymaster. He is a rewarder. Turn to your neighbor and say, He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. So if you're tempted right at this moment in your life to draw away from God, not a good idea. Not a good idea, not a good plan. Stop that plan. And do all you can to draw closer. Do all you can to move towards Him. Now here's a good question, and I'm getting into the main part of the message here. What do you do when you feel like you're doing the right things, but you're not seeing any results? Anybody ever been there? I won't have you raise your hand because really probably we could all raise our hand, some more than others. What do you do when you feel like you're doing the right things and you're not seeing any results? And when that is happening, it's frustrating. It's discouraging. I mean, discouragement can be so heavy, you can just see it on people. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they even in their posture, I mean, kind of just hunched, you know, a look on their face. You're talking to them. Some people can hide it better than others, but some of you just can't hide it, which is okay. We, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But right now, you may be sitting next to someone who feels like Satan is winning the battle. Did you know that? Right now. You feel like Satan's winning the battle. Maybe next to someone who's tired of it all. Just tired. Maybe somebody who wants to quit serving God, quit following God, and go back to the old lifestyle. Like that really got you anywhere. Maybe someone sitting next to you right now is saying, what's the use? What's the use of doing the right thing? What does it matter? We said that a lot here. When you least feel like going to church is the time you need to go to church. I've had like four or five people quote that to me this week. Not this week, but I mean, you know, about the last month. And that might be you today. You're just not feeling it. Maybe you didn't want to be here. But you heard me say that and said, okay, you hear my voice. I don't feel like being here, but I'm going to go because that's when miracles can happen. So let's get in some, if you have, yeah, it can relate to any of those questions. Let's look at Galatians 6. I think I got some, God does, some encouraging things for you today. Galatians 6, very familiar passage to those that have been here any length of time. But let's just try to look at it again today with fresh eyes. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, he starts off with this part about not being deceived. You know what deception is? Deception is believing something as a truth when it's a lie. Anybody get these emails supposedly from your bank saying there's a problem with your account, you need to log in? It looks pretty good. I mean, you know, the graphics and all the different things, but it's a lie. It's a deception, trying to get me to log in and give them my information. He's sneaky. He is a deceiver. He's the master of deception. And he's working overtime to tell you lies, to get you to believe his lies, and his half-truths. It's got a little bit of truth in there. But the end is still deception. And, what he's trying to do is ultimately steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. That's his mission. But you have to understand, in this world that we're living in right now, you've got to understand seed time and harvest. Jesus compares the kingdom to as a man planting a seed. This is how the kingdom works. And so, even though we feel like we're insignificant and nobody's watching, and it doesn't matter what we do, it does matter what you do and what you say. Because of seed time and harvest. Now, if we could take seed time and harvest out of there, then it wouldn't matter. And he says in Genesis, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Seed time harvest. Now, you want that seed time harvest working in your favor. You don't want that working against you. Has anybody ever been there? And let me just tell you this, it's working for you right now. It's the law. I mean, I can get up here right here and I can jump and I'm not going to float unless God does a miracle. But he's superseding natural laws. I could float, but what happened, law of gravity, if I'm up here, I'm going to jump. That law states I'm going to hit the ground. We need to know certain laws. And if one of the spiritual laws that you need to know and understand well is the law of seed time and harvest. And you need to get it working for you, not against you. And the whole kingdom, Jesus said, operates this way. And so what I'm saying is, what you do, whether you think anybody's looking or not, or knows about it, what you say and do matters. And it has consequences. He says here, sow to the flesh, and you'll reap corruption. Who wants that? Can I see a show of hands? He says that this is the word. I'm not making this up. Sow to the flesh and you're going to reap. Sow to the spirit and you'll reap everlasting life. Now, who wants to do that? It's not talking about when you're in heaven. It's talking about right here on the earth. And so a good question to be asking ourselves in this crazy world is, how can I sow to the Spirit today? That's a question constantly be asking, you know, whether you're at home, whether you're at Walmart, whether you're, you know, at work, whether you're at school. And there's no off days. Every day is a day to sow. We're farmers. Every day is a day to sow. How can I sow to the Spirit today? That's a good thing to be thinking about today. How can I sow to the Spirit at the restaurant? How can I sow to the Spirit with my family, in my marriage? And you want to get this working in your in your thinking and get it working for you, because there's a due season. There is a due season. For every seed sown, there's a specific harvest. Now, they're all different for each seed. Maybe a different time. Have you ever noticed some things take a little longer? So we've got to have patience, faith and patience, inherit the promise. You know what patience is? One of the definitions of patience, cheerful endurance. Who likes that? Cheerful endurance. How can I sow to the Spirit in the situation I'm dealing with? The enemy wants you to sow bad seeds, do things. He's deceiving, he's lying, he's cunning, trying to get you to get into fear and to do different things to make it worse. That's what he's. Spirit of God is trying to get you to sow love seeds, faith seeds, word seeds, God seeds. Sow those kind of seeds, because he knows, he's the one that instituted it, that there's a harvest coming. So, Paul here, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging us not to grow weary, tired, weak, faint of heart, exhausted, losing your resolve, your courage. Because when you get tired, you're weakened. And when you are weak, that's when mistakes are made. That's when the enemy really steps up his game and tries to hit you in different areas, tempting you when you're weak. Jesus, when he fasted for 40 days, Satan came. He was weak. The strategy's not changed. He's waiting for the opportune time. And one of the best times to hit you is when you're weak, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, physically, emotionally. That's when mistakes are made. When you're weary, that's when you make mistakes. And that's when you, thoughts that maybe you would, stronger, you cast that down. But when you're weak and weary, you start listening. And that's just really his strategy, is to plant those seeds. You know, that fiery dart, keep firing, keep hammering, let's wear him down. He's getting weaker, He's starting to believe my lies. I've got him now. Say amen or oh me or say something. But what I want you to remember about the law of seed time and harvest, I want you to remember there is a due season. Amen. There is a due season. Every seed, it's got a time to grow But there is a due season, and I've been doing a little study on this, or due season. One of the definitions is fixed. I like that, fixed. Don't you wish you could fix the lottery? I mean, I know prosperity ruins the fool, as long as you're not a fool. But if we could fix it and get the numbers. There was a gangster in Boston that owned this convenience store that won $14 million of the lottery. And so he knew that someone in his attends his convenience store won the lottery, and somehow that ticket ended up in his hands. Interesting, isn't it? He fixed it. Now, we're not doing that, but this word this season means fixed. Fixed. But then I dug a little deeper. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. But let's just dig a little deeper and see what we can find out. And then I found another scholar who said, guaranteed. And maybe that word, maybe not, based on working with manufacturers. But guaranteed harvest. This due season is a fixed season. This due season is a guaranteed season. As long as you don't give up, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't draw back. I mean, I have a garden in my backyard. I can go and tear up that seed. I can go tear it up right before it's about to come up. I can tear it up while it's growing up. I have the power to do that. I don't want to because I want it to bear fruit. But we've got the authority to plant, to water, to tear up. And I feel like some of you here, and I heard Chip Brim preach this message at our church a long time ago, and I wish I could get him back right now just to preach a little mini part of it about you're right on the goal line. You're on the goal line, and you're just about to cross into the end zone for all you football lovers. You're about to cross the goal line, and you're going to quit. You're right there. I know it's hard. I mean, the goal line area, I mean, it's tough to go that final yard. It's not easy. But you're right there, and you got the help of the Holy Spirit. You got the name of Jesus. You got the blood of Jesus. You got the Word of God. We got each other. You're right there. Don't quit. Come on. Let's just go on in and score. Amen. Guaranteed harvest.
Yes.
Guaranteed harvest. Guaranteed harvest. Guaranteed harvest. Your harvest is on the way. Don't give up. Expect it. Now, I know sometimes we talk about these things. A lot of times it's financial. But as I was praying about the service today, I really got a lot about relationships. And it gets fuzzy in relationships. Because relationships are messy. You can be an expert on relationships and just have disaster in your home. I'm just telling you, it's just because you're dealing with emotions and feelings. 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 Whoa, feelings. Whoa. Feelings go up. Feelings go down. So I just want to encourage you, don't give up on that relationship. and be asking yourself, and it's hard because we've been hurt. And they deserve to be punished, right? Amen, Tanya? A lot of nodding, yeah. Don't they? Don't they need to reap? They've hurt me. But, my friend, and you happen to be here today, you are a believer. You can't just do any old thing. You can't follow the column in the paper.
Right.
Leave them. Get rid of them, you know, whatever. You can't do that. You have to do you can see my face, Sean, tonight. You got to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't get away with what everybody else does. You got to do the right thing.
Right.
Nate Barber, all spiritual and holy over here. You got to do the right thing. It's done then. When you write. Now, from a guy that has wanted to quit many times everything, I'm talking about my marriage. I don't know about my kids. It's gracious sitting there. I can't say that, but pastoring. You guys. Sometimes you guys are just discouraging. Or, hey, I let it get to me. You know, as I get older, and I don't want to get callous, but I'm just wiser. Younger, though, I mean, someone would leave the church when I was younger. I mean, I would just sob in the office. I mean, just really, I mean, it was just like a breakup. I mean, it was just, seriously. I mean, it hurt. And so I've got some experience in this area of discouragement. So I want to give you a few tips, a few pointers. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because most of you are but maybe you might need a little reminder of one of these things. First one is keep sowing. Don't let discouragement or weariness in not seeing the harvest manifest. Don't let it discourage you from sowing seed. And I've heard people say this, and I think Eddie says this, you know, when you are hurting so bad, find someone else, maybe going through something worse, and bless them. You know, it's hard. It's hard to do that because I need it. But it gets you your mind off yourself onto others, because ultimately that's going to help you come through this. Got to get your mind off yourself. This week, I was talking to my son-in-law, Matt. Great name, by the way. Matt. That's just Matt. Wow, that's a good name. I was just checking, because he hasn't been here, and so I was sharing some of my stories, some of my miracle stories. And as I was kind of going through them, man, one came up, and bam, another one, just like, and suddenly I know he had to go, but I just kept on going. I'm just like, because as I was telling those miracle stories, I've had so many miracles.
Yeah.
So many miracles. Rehearse the miracles. It'll encourage you. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same God. He hasn't given up. And I'm going to read you some scriptures about that. He hasn't given up. And he just gets better. Rehearse the victories. Go out to lunch today and start telling some of your testimony. Tom Tiller. So many things since I've known you. Over 20 years. So many things God has done. He is not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's the same God.
Amen.
This is a hard one for men. Talk to somebody. Yeah. Talk to somebody. That's not weakness. I'm not saying go around talking to everybody. But it's good to get somebody together and start. And again, you're just saying what's going on and say, hey, I'm discouraged. I'm feeling weak right now. Would you pray with me? Would you just be there for me? Help keep me accountable? I mean, we all need that. But the enemy wants us to isolate us. Get you alone. Get you away from others. Not coming to church. Not being a part of the body. He loves that. Get you offended. You don't have to suffer alone. Hey, some people that they've been going through over the years, I didn't really know what to even counsel them. I mean, seriously, I've just heard some things. I don't know, you know. And I'm like, I don't know how that's going to happen. That's probably, you know. And I'm like doubting. And so what I'll do is with this, whoever this person is, I'll just come here to the altar and, you know, we'll just begin to pray and pray in the Spirit. And I had one years ago, one guy in particular, we used to get together and put on like a Keith Moore worship tape. And we just worshiped God together until he got happy. Seriously. Kept playing it until some relief. Well, Pastor, I don't need all this. My life is great. Well, then stop being so selfish and listen for others. Because God may use you to bring, he will use you. Now, you all know this one, pray in tongues. What is Jude. What does Jude say about praying in the Spirit? Tanya, you know. Build yourself up.
Praying in the Spirit.
Brother Hagin used to say, charge up like a battery. Luke 18:1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now I'm going to conclude here, and I'm going to give you a few of my favorite scriptures. Because that has been, you know, how David encouraged himself. I mean, I've just done that over the years, had to encourage myself. Done all those other things, but there's just times you got to encourage yourself. And I like to take the word on purpose and speak it and read it and meditate on it. But let me just share some of my favorites. Maybe it'll encourage you today. Hebrews 13:5. And I like Amplified in this one. Now, again, whatever your version is, but I like this in the Amplified. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. That's called contentment. And God has contentment. For he, God himself, has said, now listen, I will, so you remember the victories now. Remember what he's done. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Man, that's good. Put that on a note card. Put that in your pocket. Anytime one of those fiery darts comes, one of those thoughts come, one of the, you know, those feelings of competition or weakness or exhaustion, whatever it is, pull out the card. Get behind me, Satan. Look. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to leave me in the wilderness. He's with me. And even better than that, he's in me. Amen. look in that mirror and say, God's inside that man. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is on me. He has anointed me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You're not going down. You're on the goal line. You're going over. It's touchdown time. We'll change the message title. It's touchdown time. The other sermon title I had for today, but I mean, it's just so corny. You guys was so spitting now. Was finish strong. Finish strong. God doesn't work in years and in time like we do, but we have this calendar, and we're getting near the end of the year, and we get tired. A lot has happened this year.
Amen.
We are not crawling into the new year. We're not begging our way into the new year. We are finishing strong. Say that. I am finishing strong.
I am finishing strong.
And now say, we are finishing strong.
Are finishing strong.
We are.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's just flip on over to Isaiah. I don't know if this is on your list, Kelly, but Isaiah 54, verse 17. Tanya, you know this verse? No, Bobby, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, you will condemn. Okay. Who's ready for Isaiah 40? Isaiah 40. You knew I was going there, baby. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? These are questions. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And so if you're feeling weak, he gives power to you.
Right.
Eyes, buddy, your eyes are so big.
I'm paying attention.
He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth. You know how much baggage our youth is carrying these days? What's all this pressure? Think the young people are dealing with? I didn't deal with a lot of these things until I'm 30. You're dealing with it as a teenager. Good gracious. You're just speeding up. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men, we're still in that category, right?
Yeah.
Young men, yeah. Is that a deception? No, I mean. And the young men, no, it's not. And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait. I was a waiter, and I was a good waiter, but when you're a waiter, you're attentive to the needs of the customer. When you're waiting on God, you're attentive to what He wants and what He desires. But those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not faint, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, man.
Amen.
That's good stuff. It's better than the best that our marketers have. It's better than anything Google has and Apple. This is better than the iPhone. And now I think I'm closing with my last verse here. And I absolutely just, I mean, I love this last one. 2 Corinthians 2. Now thanks be to God. Look at the language here. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge at every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wow. It matters what you do. You're the fragrance of Christ. It matters how you conduct yourself. It matters when no one else is looking. It matters what you do on the job. It matters what you do at home. And we need to sow the Spirit. And I know there's some folks going through some things here today. Well, stand, everybody.